You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
Maybe you have even had a conversation with someone over a text message like you were seeing in this video right here. People doubting the presence of God, what he is doing, why should I believe, but all these different things. And we want to be able to tackle these questions. And today, we want to center our hearts with Psalm 13. So if you have a Bible, open that up. If you have your phone and want to follow us along with our notes, that is there. Or if you just want to open up to Psalm 13, we're going to be reading together as a congregation, verses 1 through 4. And I love being able to read Psalms, because usually when I hear the psalmist or David saying these words, spilling out his guts on scripture, I'm just like, me too. And so we're going to read this together, and maybe you have experienced this and you can relate to exactly what the psalmist is going through. So Psalm 13, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 together. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Now, we're going to stop right there. We'll hit the last part. I promise you. Okay, this is the first part, and we'll get to the very end. All right. Before I had the opportunity to be able to serve with you all at Thrive Community Church, both Kiri and I were living in St. Louis at the time. I was going to school and seminary there, but during that time, I had to get a job naturally, right, to be able to make some money. And one of the things that I got to do while I was working in St. Louis, and something I really miss to this day, was I was able to work at Chili's, serving some great Cinco de Mayo margaritas and food, and just really had a great time connecting with people. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about the people that I serve food or drinks to. I really miss and enjoyed connecting with the people that I worked with the most. Now, if any of you all had any experience in the industry, which I know that there are some people here today that have worked in the restaurant business or consulted in the restaurant business or whatever it may be, if you know anything about the restaurant business, it can be a very, very dark place. I mean, there are some people, let me tell you, that just do not know Jesus whatsoever. And I just thought, man, that is the perfect place to be. You know, I need to be challenged in my faith. I need to be outside of these seminary walls. I need to be connecting with people. And it was also a very challenging place for me to be in. Some of the things that were said, I learned a lot about life for the very first time. But I remember when I was leaving this place, I was kind of like discouraged. Like I thought that there was going to be some old big old great transformation at Chili's, right? Like all these people were going to come to know the Lord, and it's going to be this a miraculous thing, and God working through me. You know, one of those. Yeah, it just didn't happen the way that I thought it was going to be. And I kind of questioned, and I kind of doubted. But I still remember as I was moving to Florida to help plant Thrive Community Church, I got some text messages from some of my managers, all right? And some of the messages were like, hey, man, like I can't believe that, you know, you have the opportunity to be able to do this. And after meeting you, like, I'm starting to take my family to church, and, like, I'm really wanting to know who the Lord is. And I just want to thank you for your time and just being able to be the real person that you were. And I was just like, man, that's awesome. But why did that have to happen when I'm leaving, when I can help them through the journey? And, you know, but, like, the Lord was working through their heart. And I remember these guys, and I love these guys. There's a picture of them We were in a softball tournament together, and this was my Chili's crew right here, and some of my managers. This was in St. Louis, hence the Cardinal S T-shirts. I'm not a Cardinal fan, by the way, so don't use that for blackmail, Vicky. There's Scott. He's in the Cardinal's hand. He's right next to me, to my left, and then my other friend Kurt, the backwards hat. And these were some of the guys that expressed these things that gave me thankfulness and gratitude. And it's like, man, this is awesome. Like, I just continue to pray for them and that the Lord continues to work on the heart. And it's just like a beautiful thing. Now, I want to flash forward to this past February, all right? And I received a message from someone that worked at Chili's that Kurt, the guy in the backwards hat, at the age of 35, passed away in a car accident. Three boys and a newlywed, and people totally devastated, right? And maybe you've been there, whatever the situation may be, the news, the text message, and your just heart just drops, it sinks, right? And I remember there's a lot of emotions. Well, I mean, the good news that I want to share with you all, like, been talking to Kurt before that. Actually, that was like his Facebook profile picture right before he passed away. I kid you not. And he would just be putting scripture all over his Facebook wall. It was just like, this was a changed man. Like, if you met Kurt when I met Kurt, you're like, oh, heck no, you know? And yet, like, this is a man that was loving the Lord, that was like a follower of Jesus. And so all my friends right there, they're screaming, they're shouting, they're angry, just like that video that you saw right there. And my one manager friend, his name's Scott, he's been kind of wrestling a lot with the Lord, and he's the guy that's right next to me. He sends me a text message just like we get in these videos right here. So this stuff does happen, by the way, all right? And I want to read you word for word exactly what Scott told me, okay? I didn't change anything, so excuse all the grammar that's going on in there, but this is word for word from Scott. Here is the text message. Okay, Phil, here's your chance. Direct me and tell me where to look, what to read. Help me find the understanding that I'm acting at this time. He's supposed to be a protector, supposed to guide his sheep, keep us safe, root out evil. Help me, Phil, because my faith is now being tested, and I feel it slipping away. I want to believe, but, again, this is word for word, like crazy, right? I want to believe, but all I can find is doubt and disbelief in this tragedy. So I'm asking you for help. I have a Bible and I haven't opened it for years. What scripture will open my eyes to help the understanding? How can a God who gave and knows the pain of giving his son for us to kill be so willing to take from sons a loving father? I want to throat punch God right now, Phil. Everyone wants to pray for the loss of a friend. I don't want their prayers. I'm tired of hearing that. I reach out to you for your help because we have had some very good discussions on Jesus in the past, and I think you may be able to relay this message better than any other old priest or minister or monk can do. That's cool. So again, Phil, I'm asking you for help. Please, sincerely, someone on the verge of losing their faith. That happened in February. All right. And I'll get back to that. But maybe you have had someone that has expressed something like that, where there's doubts of the presence of God. I don't feel his presence. I don't think that he's there. Or maybe it's even yourself. Maybe you're one of those people like, yeah, like, I get the whole Jesus thing, but there's some people that I surround myself with, like, they're so annoying. Like, think of that person, okay? Like, they're in your Christian group, your small group, your home huddle, whatever you associate yourself with. And, like, everything is so good. Like, they feel the presence of God all the time. Like, you know, my husband got a promotion. The parking spot in front of Starbucks in front of Coconut Point just opened up. And then all of a sudden, like, God is good. I got into my dream graduation school. And you're just like, stop it. Like, You're like, why is everything working out for you? And you're just like, my husband lost his job. You know, I didn't get into my dream school. You know, like, that may be you. And guess what? That's okay. Just because you don't feel the presence of God, you are not alone. Just because you may not feel the presence of God, you are not alone. Now, there are people in Scripture, there are people that we've, even that we've witnessed in this time, there are stories of people still doubting the presence of God, okay? So, for instance, when the psalmist, again, he says this in Psalm 88, verses 13 through 14. He says, "But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me?" In the Bible, Psalm 23, a very famous psalm, what does it say? It says, "Lord, you know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." Why? Exactly. Even David doubted. In the New Testament, Paul had this like really cool radical experience, right? He gets like struck down, and then all of a sudden he sees this glowing Jesus and says, "Saul, why are you persecuting my church?" And then even he becomes a follower, but yet he still wrestles with his doubt. He becomes anxious. He doesn't really sense the presence of God. He thought he was supposed to be doing, you know, like this extraordinary thing, but yet like he found most of his time, he was like a tent builder. I don't know if you know that. He was a tent maker. So he was wasting his time doing that, and he was becoming frustrated. Or what about Jesus? When Jesus was on the cross, as we've just been focusing on the death and resurrection of our Lord, Jesus on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So I think it's a very real thing, a very true thing to understand. Hey, there are times where we do not feel the presence of God. Do you guys know who C.S. Lewis is? Okay, most of you do. If you haven't, he is like the Jedi of Christian writing, okay? If you haven't read any of his books, you should. It's some great reads. And if you don't know his story, he was atheist and he became Christian. And when he became Christian, he too even doubted. He even said this: "I got a door slammed in my face and the sound of a bolting and a double bolting on the inside. And after that, silence. There are no lights in the windows. It might be an empty house. Was it even ever inhabited? It seemed so once. Why is God so present, a commander in our time of prosperity, but yet so absent in the help of time of trouble?" So you may be saying, "Yeah, you know what? I want to believe, but if you only know some of these circumstances." Again, my hope today is that we can be able to share some stories, all right? And actually, a good thing to really, I mean, how many of you like have ever felt the presence of God before? Okay. All right. Most of all of us, you know, how many of you guys felt the presence of God today? Ooh, let's see right now. All right. Now, if you didn't feel the presence of God, what was the matter? Did like God not do something? Did Davina not play the right note or the holy chord, whatever that may be? I don't know. You know, there's just sometimes like, man, like we feel it, but then sometimes we don't. Like, how do you feel it? How do you experience that? What does that look like? And again, that's today what I want to be able to talk about, three different things that maybe help us really understand what we're trying to look at, exactly what the psalmist was experiencing, exactly what Paul was experiencing, exactly what Jesus was experiencing, exactly even what my friend Scott was experiencing. All right. So the first three things, and three things that I want to share with you. The first thing is this: you may be over-sensationalizing it. Sensationalizing it. My bad. You may be over-sensationalizing it. So in John chapter 6, verse 30, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and his disciples are saying, "Hey, Jesus, like, can you give us like a sign so that way everyone is going to be able to believe in you? Like, what's your big thing that you're going to do, Jesus? We really want to know. Like, we want to be able to understand the presence so that way more and more people may understand what this looks like." Because Jesus, like when your followers were in Israel, when they were in the Old Testament, when they were in the wilderness, you know, you gave them manna, you gave them something to eat, and everyone knew that you were God. So Jesus, what are you going to do right now? Okay? So even the disciples were doing that. Even they thought like, "Hey, we need this, be able to have this clear sign." A better example may be this. Have you ever, I'm talking to my single people out there who are not married, okay? All right? And when you ever had like a feeling like, "Hey, you know, I'm with so-and-so right now, but like, God, if I'm not supposed to be with this person, can you send me someone, just make it clear as can be, you know, maybe give him the right body or, you know, whatever that may be, you know, that he's the right person, you know, just God, give me a sign so that way I truly know, because I don't want to just necessarily settle, you know, we're always looking for that next big thing. We're looking for that next big moment, that next big spiritual moment. Now, I've been a Christian my whole life. Let me tell you, like, God has been good, and I've had two parents that have just showed me who the Lord was. But there was one point in my spiritual life where I had to go through this thing called confirmation, okay? I think many of you have probably gone through this before, but if you haven't, let me explain to you. It's just a time where you understand the Lord more and more. You go through Bible teachings, memory verses, you learn doctrine of the Christian faith, and then even in most confirmations, you get to be able to take communion for the very first time, all right? And I remember I actually had to take confirmations at the Christian school that I went to, and then my dad was a pastor at another church, so I had, like, I had double time, like, so I was holier than thou, right? Just kidding, all right? And I remember hearing, like, the teaching, like, when you take the Lord's Supper, it's going to be this, like, supernatural, spiritual thing. I was like, yeah, I want that. Like, I want that so bad. And I remember we finally got to the moment, and we were practicing communion, and I was with all my classmates at my Christian school, and, you know, we were receiving the body of Christ, and I tasted, like, this tastes a lot like plastic. And I remember we were receiving shot glasses of wine, like, for the very first time, right? And I remember even one of my buddies drinking it, and go, psh, everywhere. And I was just like, wow, this is not what they described it to be. This is so different. And it's like, I wanted something more. Like, I wanted something so that way, like, oh man, like, that true sign, like, God is here, God is near. And you know what? Sometimes we are over sensationalizing it. Okay. The other thing that I want to be able to share with you is, maybe your heart is hardened. Okay. And this is a really difficult thing to say, because, it's kind of scary to be able to say this, but, like, sometimes if we harden our hearts, we're not going to be able to sense the presence of God. And even at one point, Jesus was with his disciples again, and he was talking to them in Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 through 15. He says this, "You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive, for the people's heart has grown dull, and their eyes can barely hear, and their ears can barely hear, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should be seen with their eyes, they hear from their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them." So perhaps, again, I don't want to necessarily, like, scare you and saying, like, hey, if your heart's hardened, you're not going to be able to feel the presence of God. But if we allow sin, If we allow sin to be so present, so part of our lives, it's going to be able to hinder our intimacy with the Lord. So think of it this way. A man and woman are married, right? And if one person cheats on the spouse, are they still married? Yes, technically they're still married, but the intimacy may be gone. It becomes very hard when that becomes the center of everything. Now, God works through ways, and he redeems people, and he forgives, and he shows us grace and mercy, but, like, it becomes very difficult when that is there. A better example may be this. So Kyrie is from northern Wisconsin, all right? And she would tell you that she loves 13-degree weather, all right? Like, if it's that cold, like, she loves it. And actually, my mother-in-law is listening right now, and she's probably shaking her head. And my little niece, hi, Lottie, she really was listening to me today, too. They love this cold weather, all right? They live for this. I don't understand why, okay? But if you get Kyrie in northern Wisconsin, she makes this shrieking, really loud noise of happiness that she's able is to bundle up when she's in the cold. But if you're up there in this very cold weather, you know, you want to put on your best jacket. You want to be put on your best hat, your gloves, so that way that you go outside, and so that way you don't feel any of the cold air, right? But in the same way, that can be like a separation. That can be right there, just like that sin that, you know, I'm using this as a metaphor, okay? Just like that sin that could be there, all right? We're not able to feel the coldness, the air on our body. We become so numb to it, all right? And so again, maybe our heart is hardened, all right? I love what it says in Psalm 51. We read this before. It says this, create in me a pure heart. David says, create in me a pure heart. Create in me a pure heart. Renew within me the right spirit. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Create in me a pure heart. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're just like, well, you know, like, and it's so easy because we still play the comparison game. We still compare our sin versus this sin. Like, it's not so bad. No, if we allow that to be there, we're going to harden our hearts and we're not going to be able to feel that presence. And so that's my challenge for you, all right? The other thing, we need to be able to let God pursue us, all right? That's the most important thing. We want Jesus to be able to come to us. We're able to receive him each and every week. And yet, it is not just bread and wine. It is his body and blood, which is given for us for the forgiveness of sins. We allow him to come after us, all right? I love the parable of... We have the lost son, right? Or he goes away and, you know, he is debauchery and, you know, he decides that, like, you know, at my father's house, they have it so much better. At least my father feeds the slaves with the right portion. So I'm going to go back to my father because it'd be much better to be able to live with him than anyone else. And as the son is getting ready, and I'm sure he's, like, you know, working through some of these words of what he's going to say to his father, and he's in the distance, we see the father sees him, but he doesn't wait for the son to come after him. What does he do? He runs after him. He runs after him. He pursues him. He kisses him. He says, my son was once lost, but now he's found. Let's throw a party and kill the calf and have a good time. So we need to be able to allow our God to be able to pursue us. You know, and that honestly can be pretty hard at times. There's so many times where it's just like, man, well, first of all, we're so American, right? We have schedules for everything. And I think the biggest struggle that I even have at times, I'm just like, man, I want to be able to meet with everyone, right? And talk to everyone and be in the presence with everyone. But yet it's like, but I got this meeting and that meeting and this is going on. And it's just like, next thing you know it, it's just like, my life is so consumed with all the things that I have scheduled in my life. And I forget about living in with the intimacy with a father and just being in his presence and being with the community of believers. And I don't know why I forget that. I really don't. Because if we enter into that presence, he comes after us, he pursues us, he runs, he loves us, he forgives us, but yet we even forget about that. So in a little bit, Davina's actually going to be singing a song called Sanctuary. And it's one of my favorite songs. When I was growing up, going as a camper to this camp called Wall Camp, all right? I loved it. You know, it was like a moment for me where I was in the presence of Lord, and I remember the lyrics of the song, and maybe you recall them as well. It's like this traditional campfire song, right? And it goes like this, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. So the literal meaning for sanctuary is to be set aside as sacred and holy. We have a Father that says, I redeem you, I love you, I make you sacred, I make you holy. Just allow me to come after you. I'm giving myself to you. I gave myself to you on that Good Friday. I gave myself to you by resurrecting again. So when we hear this, know that you are holy and pure and clean. And we boldly pronounce our faith in that. That is our faith, that we know that even, and that's the thing about faith sometimes, right? Faith, we don't necessarily see those things. That's why it's faith, all right? But yet, like, we need to have faith that the presence of God is always there. Like, God has been there that whole time, whether I didn't understand what communion meant at the time, whether or not, all right? He's been there. He's been so present, okay? But our faith shows us that, all right? So I want to get back to my story about Scott, all right? And when you get a text message like that, how do you respond to something like that? How do you respond to someone that says, I want to throat punch God? It's just like, man, I just remember becoming very worried and very tense. And I was just like opening up scripture and like, God, just reveal to me your presence so that way Scott would understand your presence. Lord, like, give me the words that you need to give to him because he is hurting right now. And I think I wrote like a PDF of 3 pages of like, something's got to stick out of like the 90 Bible verses, like at least one, right? And I remember sharing this verse from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And for some reason, that wasn't like one of like the main catalyst points. Like I thought like I beautifully made this letter so perfect, right? But like it was this verse right there that really stuck to him. Immediately, you know, because I'm Facebook friends with him, he posts that Bible verse. The same guy that was posting before that, I hate you, God. I don't want anything to do with you. Why would you take one of my best friends? Why would you take a father away from his family? Just saying all this ridiculous things about God. Yet he is crying out to God the same way that David cried out in the Psalms. But yet he posts this scripture right here. And he says, now faith is the assurance of things to hope for, the convictions of things not seen. So that right there is our hope. That right there is our trust. So sometimes, yes, we may not feel that presence. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. You know, sometimes you're like, I don't even want to raise my hands because I'm not even feeling it yet. You know, when we raise our hands, by the way, we don't do it just because we feel it. It's because we cry after God and we just want to be able to receive him. So it's okay to raise your hands here, by the way. I just want you to know that. All right. But the presence of God, knowing that the Holy Spirit is here, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to sing about being a sanctuary. We're going to be able to receive him. And so I want you to be able to know, like, that presence, he is there. He always will be there, even in some of the most difficult moments. Even if you are angry at that person, it seems like their life is always together. He is real. He is near. He is present. Let's pray. So, Father, we're thankful for your love. Thankful that you are very present in our lives. And, Lord, at times, that may not necessarily feel so true. Sometimes, Lord, we're looking for that big sign, you know, that cloud in the sky or that message on our phone that, you know, you're confirming something, but yet you still feel so distant at times. Lord, forgive us because sometimes we just don't see you clearly. Sometimes our heart is hardened because sometimes we're letting whatever is crippling us, whatever that sin may be, it's just hardening our hearts. And Lord, forgive us, renew us. You make us clean. And it's so good that we're going to be able to come after you and receive communion from you, your body, your blood. Thank you, Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray that you reveal to us who you are and what you're doing. That we would be able to share that same message to the people living in this area, that we can be a church that is light for the community of Stero, for FGCU, and that we can partner with all many other churches too, Lord. Lord, we just want to be in your presence. We want your Holy Spirit to be here. And so, Lord, we're just thankful, and we give thanks for you. We pray this in your name. Amen.